I don't know about you tonight, but I have such peace inside of me tonight. I have such fulfillment inside of me. I thank God for what He's taught me over the years. That's come out of this pulpit. For years, Debbie and I have listened and applied the teaching. And I can tell you from my own experience that it is so life-changing that it will take you from where you are and will put you in the place, not just a place, but the place that God has ordained for you to be in. It's like this jigsaw puzzle. You ever put a jigsaw puzzle together? You got all these crazy little pieces. I never had patience at all to sit and put one of those crazy things together. You look at one of those things and you got all these pieces. And you pick up one of those pieces and you try to figure out, okay, where does it go? And you get the frame all established around the picture and you've got, you know, 500 little pieces, all different shapes, all different sizes. And these things are supposed to go together to make this picture. And if you're like I am, it's about 5 minutes of that and you're ready to put that away and go do something else. Now, there's some people that have the patience to sit there and put those things together. Now, have you ever noticed whenever you pick up one of those pieces, it doesn't necessarily go where you want it to go or where you think it's going to go? It has a unique place in that puzzle. And it fits perfectly in that place. Once all the other pieces get put in place, then you can take that one and you can put it where it goes. It's not magic. It's just the way it is. There are so many people that I come across that feel like a piece in that puzzle that they just have no idea where they're supposed to go. They have no idea where they fit in the puzzle. And what I would just love so much to do is to just open them up and just stick inside of them all the things that we've learned throughout the years from this place. Because I know that I am living in the place that God has created for us to live in, and there is such peace here. Now, if you think everything in my life is perfect, I got news for you. It's absolutely not. You think everything's easy? No. But that's not the criteria that you measure whether or not you're in the place that God has for you. And we're going to look at some of these examples tonight. It's not based on that I'm in the perfect place because everything's going great in my life. No. It's based on the fact that I know that this is the place that God has created for me, and He did it as I prayed in tongues and the Holy Ghost went out in front of me and arranged everything and I walked into it. Yeah, as I look around here tonight, and not just tonight, but different times that I preach, and I look at some of the faces in the crowd, I sometimes wonder, do you all have that same fulfillment in your life? Because that's what doing this message will bring you. It will. And it isn't based on your circumstances. It's not based on anything other than I know that I'm where I am supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. Does that mean the devil doesn't torment me? Are you kidding me? Get real. He's forever trying to tell me you're going too slow, Mark. You should be doing more, Mark. You're going too fast, Mark. You shouldn't be doing so much. It's always something. He wants to shake you. He wants to get you questioning. He wants to get you in fear, in torment, in frustration. All of those things. He wants you getting living out of your mind. Just like what Gary's been preaching. He wants you to live out of your mind. So that you try to figure out. Okay. All right, I'm going to get my mind involved here. I want to figure out my life. See that right there? That is a recipe for torment. It is. It's a recipe for torment. If you let your mind get involved when you are walking out the things of God, it will be utter frustration. Live out of your spirit. It's so much easier. It truly is. When you're praying in tongues, and you're meditating the word, and you start living out of your spirit, man, and you stop trying to figure it out with your mind, what you're going to find is you don't worry like you did before. You don't worry. I mean, if you came and sat and talked to me, and you asked me, Mark, are you worried? Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I'm not worried. I am honestly not worried. Now, and I could get into detail on situations even today, that the devil's trying to pull stuff. And you would think, oh my, Mark, you need to worry about that. You're not being responsible. Yes, I am. I'm being very responsible, not worrying. Very responsible. But what I want to talk to you about tonight, what the Holy Ghost wants to talk to you about, is how strategically He wants to walk you through this life, and He wants you to see that it's not just about you. He wants you to recognize, just like this jigsaw puzzle, you're not the only piece on the board. You're just one piece in this big master plan, and you have a place. You fit in that place, and you're the only one in that jigsaw puzzle that fits there. Isn't that awesome? Only you can do it. I can't do it for you. Only you. And when you find your place, guess what? Somebody else can find their place, another person find their place, and we all fit together. And the puzzle becomes one whole picture, one whole body. And then we function and move together, and we flow through this earth, and we get people saved. That's what this is all about. And I know for myself, for years, my concern was about me. My concern was about answering my call. I got to do this. I got to answer my call. And I'll be honest with you. I was not thinking about the other people's lives who would be affected because of my decisions. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about me. But what we're going to look at tonight, it's how many people's lives are affected because of your decisions. Because you say things, you do things, you go places. People are affected because of it. And we need to be aware of that. Hey, people are watching you. Whether you like it or not, they are. Especially whenever you put on the banner of Christian. Now they're really watching you. They want to see if you're really a flake or not. So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the book of Acts. I'm going to pick up a little bit where I left off last week in chapter 18. In chapter 18 of Acts, you're looking at Paul. And Paul is just walking into Corinth in chapter 18. And he's just coming across two people, one man and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla. And I want to point out a couple of things to you. First of all, I'll just start in verse 1 of chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila born in Pontus. Now look at the next word. Lately come from Italy. Now, what that means there is him and his wife has recently come to Corinth from Italy. Now, that's going to be important later, but I want you just to make a mental note of that. Lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode. Now, that, what they're saying there is Paul was a tent maker, so was Priscilla and Aquila. Paul abode with them, and they worked. Their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, this is the Jews that he's trying to get converted to Christianity. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment. And he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. Well, we're going to stop there for a little bit, because we're going to go from this point backwards a little bit. But I want, first of all, it was important for me to establish the point that we're wanting to get to later on as I share this. We're going to walk backwards and see how Paul got to this point. But where he is right here is he's in Corinth. And at this moment, he has just told the Jews, I'm done with you. I have had it. They're blaspheming these Jews, and he's telling them, I'm going to go. I'm going to minister to the Gentiles. Forget you. I'm leaving. And this is going to be important later, because what we're going to find out is it's not always you that God's going to use to minister to somebody. Now, you may wonder, and I've wondered too, did Paul totally handle this situation right? I think with his frustration and his emotion got involved with it, I think he may have went a little bit more emotional than what he should have. But what we're going to find out later is God had the perfect person in mind to minister to those Jews. Perfect person. And guess what? It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Paul. But what we want to see tonight, we want to see how this puzzle all fit together. Because it's really important. And when you see it, it's going to totally amaze you. You're going to look at it and say, I never saw it like that before. We're going to see how one piece fits, and then another piece fits, and then finally, this piece, whose name is Apollos, fits right into place and ministers to the Jews at Corinth, and they love him. They didn't like Paul. They love Apollos. But how did we get Apollos into Corinth? Well, we'll get to that later. So let's step back for a minute. Go back to chapter 13. In chapter 13 of Acts, we see in verse 1 the sending out of a man named Saul and Barnabas. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. So I'm going to stop there for a minute. So here we see, this is where Paul is sent out. They're at Antioch. Paul and Barnabas, they get their marching orders. I don't know of anybody in this church wanting their marching orders from the Lord. I think there's a few people, maybe a few people listening. That's what Paul gets. Here he is at this place. He didn't get here overnight. He spent years of preparation. There was 14 years in Damascus that he's getting ready. And here he comes forward. They're praying together at Antioch. He gets the marching orders he's been waiting for. Paul, you and Barnabas, go out and minister. And I've read this, and I've looked at this, and I looked at how he responds after the sending out. Because I think it's so interesting. There are people that, as Gary said, you go to the Baptist church, what do they say? Go ye into all the world. Just go. Anywhere. Go. But here's Paul. This is the guy that taught us about praying in tongues. This is the guy that said, I pray in tongues more than you all. This is how he lives. He's praying. So God is directing his life. It's not happens chance where he goes. It's all part of the plan. And God begins to move him so strategically. Now what I want you to see along the way here is as God moves him, he comes against some spirits of religion along the way. And you got to be ready for that. You got to realize that as God moves you out to minister, you're going to come across things that are going to try to shut you down. And you're going to do the things that are you think are right. And you know, this is God. I know what I'm doing is right. And you can see this. You can see this in chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 8, he's in a place called Lystra. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying, the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. So then they tried to make them gods. They called one Jupiter. And they tried to elevate them to deity. And everybody was happy. No, everybody wasn't happy. Guess who wasn't happy? Who wasn't happy was the people in the other towns that heard in Antioch, in Iconium. They heard, oh, those that Christian, that Paul, he's getting people healed. He's stirring things up. We're going to go. And guess what they did? They picked up stones to stone him. And they stoned him to death. And they went over and picked him up and took him out, and he came back to life again. So what are you saying, Mark? Along this way of you fitting into this place that God has created for you, you're going to come against things that the enemy is going to try to use to shut you down. You're going to be doing things that you know this is God. Him healing that guy, guess what? That was God. There's no doubt about it. Do the religious people, listen to me, do the religious minds, spirits, like that? No. As the revival breaks out here, as the people begin to see the miracles happen, guess who's not going to like it? Do you know? It's going to be religion. Those are going to be the ones trying to shut it down. Because finally, the people are going to see the truth. And all of a sudden, all the years that they've been held back by religious ideas, because they were using their mind to try and figure out instead of becoming the person that we know that we're supposed to be. They're going to see it manifested here. They're going to see the power of God. And what's going to happen? Those spirits are not going to like it. They're going to do everything they can to shut it down. They're going to do everything they can to bring a reproach against it. And that's exactly what was happening to Paul. Was Paul in the right place? Oh, sure he was. He was in the right place. How did he get there? He was praying in tongues. He was praying in tongues and God was directing him. So turn over now to chapter 16. Chapter 16. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Oh, I tell you what, let's just go down to the meat of it where I want to get to. We'll go down to verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, now when they say they at this point is Paul and Silas, not Paul and Barnabas anymore. See, when they went to Jerusalem, to try and figure out what is going to be the doctrine that we present to people, when they went there, there was a contention over John Mark. Because John Mark, when they had first left Antioch, John Mark, he got scared. He ran back. He didn't like it. So Barnabas is asking Paul, in chapter 15, he's asking Paul, what about John Mark? Can we take John Mark with us? And Paul's like, no, we can't take him. We can't take him. And Paul says, well, you know, I'm going to stay here with John Mark. So he selects Silas. So now we see in chapter 16, we see Paul and Silas together. So now we're looking here in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. We're going to stop there. We want to look at this for a little bit. Paul, I already told you in chapter 13, they already gave Paul his marching orders. Go on, Paul. Go on out. Preach the gospel. Paul's praying in tongues. We know he's got to be praying in tongues. We see it in Romans chapter 8. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's how the man lives. He prays in tongues. Does it always mean that you are right at the right place at the right time? I can show you later that Asia was in Paul's heart. It was there. Asia was there, and I'll show it to you in a little bit. Asia's there. He's knowing, God, I know that I'm supposed to minister to these people. And he's putting one foot in front of the other. He's praying in tongues. This is how you do it. You pray in tongues. God leads you by that inner witness. It's like Pastor Dave taught us so many times, that tree grows up on the inside of us, the will of God. It just grows and grows as we feed it through praying in tongues and meditating the Word. It'll grow and grow until it's the biggest thing on the inside of you. And you just can't look past it. There it is. So here's Paul right here, chapter 16. He has walked along this path and come to a place. Asia is in his heart. Lord, I know that you have something in Asia for me. And look at what happens here. When they had gone throughout Phrygia, the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Doesn't God like the people in Asia? You ever wondered about that? Does God not love them? Did Jesus not die for them? So why in the world, why can't Paul go there and preach? I'll go back to the puzzle again. Think about these puzzle pieces. You have to put them in sequence. There's a sequence. There's an order to it. You put one piece in, and that allows you to put another piece in, and that allows you to put other pieces in. See, for Paul at that moment, he had the puzzle piece in his hand, and he was trying to put it in, but it wasn't time. The other pieces needed to go into place first. It was as simple as that. It wasn't that God was saying, don't ever go to Asia. It wasn't that Asia wasn't in Paul's heart. It was not in his heart for that, or wasn't it the right time at that moment for him to do it? God had other things that he had to do first. Well, what were they? Well, let's look at them. First of all, when you come down in that same chapter, let's see. We'll start in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I need to point this out at this moment. Back in verse 9 of the same chapter, the reason that he's there in Macedonia is God gave him a vision. When he said, no, you can't go into Asia. Go back and look at this. We need to add it in here. When he said no in verse 6, and then after that in verse 7, we're come to Mysia. They asked, say, to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and in a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. God does not want our lives to be spent in frustration, constantly wondering, what do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? He doesn't want that. He really doesn't. It doesn't mean that you're going to have the full picture every second of your life of what he's going to do for you next, or what he's going to want you to go into next. It doesn't mean that at all. But for you to constantly, and I mean constantly, question and wonder, what do you want me to do? And feel like you have no idea. That's not God. And by doing this message here that we teach, you should be walking into the place in that jigsaw puzzle where you fit. Now, there's a timing about things. People have to also get put in their places. They have to find their places, and you find your place. But even if they don't, even if all the pieces that are supposed to be around you, even if they don't ever fulfill their place, you can still fulfill yours. So now let's go back here. Let's look at this. Chapter 16 and verse 16. Came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I ask you again, was everybody happy about this? No. No, the people that made money on her, they weren't happy. Guess what happened to her? She ends up in jail, or Paul ends up in jail As a result, he set somebody free. When we start shaking up the things the spirit of religion has worked so hard to keep pushed down, we're going to have to be ready for these kind of results. People are going to get set free, but not everybody's going to like it. Does that mean we don't do it? No. But don't be naive either. So now what happened here? When they had laid many stripes, verse 23, upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" All right, stop there for a minute. All right, Paul. Here Paul is ready to go into Asia. And the Holy Ghost says, not now. Not right now. Gives him a dream. Shows him a guy in Macedonia saying, "Come here, preach to us." They go to Macedonia. They get thrown in jail. And here he is, talking to the Philippian jailer, the person that pastors the church, that ministers to them, to Paul financially throughout the years. God says, "No, you can't go to Asia this second. I'm threading a needle with your life. Today you're going to go to Macedonia. Today you're going to go this direction. And I'm going to connect you with this man. And you're going to lead him to Jesus. And his whole family is going to be saved. And I'm going to use him throughout the years to minister to you financially. I'm going to thread this needle, Paul. It's not about you just going to Asia today. It's about my plan in your life and the timing of my plan. The pieces that have to come together. And as these pieces come together, you're going to see a masterpiece. You're going to see something that no human being could ever orchestrate. You're going to see me take your life, Paul, move you this direction into Macedonia. Get a girl set free, end up in jail. I'm going to open the prison doors, and you're going to get the Philippian jailer set free and then saved. Now go try to plan that out. You can't do it. That's the way our life is supposed to be, where we can't plan it out. It's supposed to be so strategically moved from one point to another. Just like that jigsaw puzzle, those pieces, they only fit one way, not two. So now we have Paul, and we see him going through different places, finally ending up in Corinth in chapter 18. So here he is in Corinth. He meets two people. Now I want you to think about this. What did I say earlier in the message? I said, in chapter 18, go over and look at it. I said, make a mental note of this. Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. Lately. What are you saying, Mark? They were there at just the right time for Paul to meet them. Maybe if he had been there a week before, 2 weeks before, they wouldn't have met each other. Who knows? But lately, those two came from Italy, Aquila and Priscilla. They meet Paul. Paul comes to town, Let's just say, for example, when he was standing there ready to go into Asia, what if he would have gone into Asia? Think about that. Would he have met Aquila and Priscilla? Probably not. But now, his life was directed to Macedonia, different cities, Athens, and then Corinth. And he gets there, and there they are. Hey, we've only been here a few weeks. There they are. Perfect timing. Now I want you to see how God takes that and continues to use it. It's amazing. So let's read on here a little bit. In chapter 18, we're going to pick it up where I left off earlier. Paul has just washed his hands of the Jews. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. In verse 7, he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So there were people getting saved, even though Paul was done with them, there were still people getting saved. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid." See, God's given him advance notice of something that's about to happen. "But speak and hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So he was there quite a while, a year and 6 months. And then in verse 12, when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, or, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you." In other words, if he had broke the law, our law, we would deal with him. But all you're talking about is just your law. So you all deal with him. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Now I want you to look at this in verse 17. Now remember, Paul is a Roman. They don't just beat Romans. But look what happens here. Verse 17. All the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and they beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Now stop there. You can't beat Paul. He's a Roman. They know they can't beat Paul. So here you are. You're in Paul's shoes. You do what God told you to do. You're ministering to these people. They drag you before the judgment seat. They can't beat you because you're a United States citizen. They ain't going to beat you. So what do? They take someone else in your place. And you get to stand there and watch them beat somebody else. Somebody that has claimed the name of Jesus. And we see that in 1 Corinthians whenever Paul gives his greeting in 1 Corinthians. He greets them and he mentions Sosthenes with them. Sosthenes went with Paul. He stood there. And we read there a year and a half. Paul was in this city. A year and a half. Probably the extent of the relationship Sosthenes had with Jesus was no longer than a year and a half. And here he stands before the judgment seat in Paul's place, taken a beating. Had he renounced Christianity at that point, most likely the beating would have stopped. But he didn't. And Paul gets to watch that. There are hard things that you're going to have to walk through at times. It doesn't mean that God is not directing your footsteps. When you go through difficult times, go through them. Don't stop. Amen. All right, let's look on. Because this is where it really gets interesting. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, now look at this. Look who went with him. Priscilla and Aquila. Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now, if you look in the back of your Bible and you look at where Ephesus is, you're going to find out that Ephesus is in Asia. It's in Asia. So that's where we're talking about, Asia. And he came to Ephesus and he left them there. So Paul left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. But he himself entered the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. He went back to Jerusalem. He went back to Jerusalem, bottom line. He left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. And this is where the puzzle starts to come together. Remember, there's people that God loves still back in Corinth that Paul washed his hands of. So there's a piece missing in this jigsaw puzzle. And when someone has to come and reach this person to fill that piece on the puzzle, now who is it going to be? Paul leaves. He goes back to Jerusalem. Here we are in Asia. And look what happens. In verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, he came to Ephesus. What perfect timing! It's almost like it was planned. And the part you have to see is, he's an eloquent man. See, that was the part that the Jews were fussing about Paul. He was ruffian. He talked rough. This guy, he spoke eloquently. Now, what was the problem with him? Well, let's see here. This verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he had disposed to pass into Achaia, that's going back to Corinth, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures, Jesus was the Christ. Now look at this. Look at this puzzle starting to take form here. The things that Paul couldn't do because it wasn't Paul. They weren't listening to him. They were blaspheming. Someone else is the person that's the right fit for this puzzle piece. Someone else, not Paul. So Paul washes his hands, he walks away, takes Priscilla and Aquila, goes to Ephesus, and as they arrive, so does Apollos. Apollos only knows the baptism of John. They get him saved. Priscilla and Aquila get him saved. He goes back to Corinth, to the very place that Paul walked away from. God moves the people around into place. The people that are going to listen to you, he wants to send you to them. Not everybody's going to listen to me. Some will, some won't. What I want is for him to move me to the place where I am the most effective, where they're going to listen. And that's what he did here. Paul is pulled out. Apollos is pulled in. And guess what else happens? Let's go on. Chapter 19. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And he said, John's baptism. And Gary pointed this out to me last week. Those people, they had been influenced by the same person Apollos had. Maybe he was the one that taught them. I don't know. But they're hearing the same doctrine. So what happens? Apollos didn't know the rest of the story. Apollos, when he did know the rest of the story, was more effective in Corinth. Paul took his place in Ephesus. Do you see how God moved these people around? Okay, let's see. Apollos is going to be more effective over here. These people in Corinth will listen. I can put him over here. I'll put Paul over here in Ephesus, and they'll get the rest of the story. And that's exactly what happens. Let's look at this. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue, and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now look at this, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that they which dwelt in where? Asia. All which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. This is a simple message tonight. You pray in tongues, he's going to move you around. He's going to move the pieces on this jigsaw puzzle to where they fit together perfectly. And there's a timing about it. God wasn't ready for Paul to go to Asia at that moment. There were other things that had to be orchestrated. The Philippian jailer had to get saved. He was going to be so important to Paul in his ministry. But he had to get saved first. So God had to orchestrate that move. Give Paul a dream. Show Paul this vision of this man from Macedonia. Send Paul over there. He gets the guy saved. Different things along the way has happened to Paul. He goes to Corinth. He just happens to show up about the same time of Priscilla and Aquila show up. God uses those two to get Apollos saved. He uses Apollos back in Corinth. He uses Paul in Ephesus. And what was in Paul's heart all the time, Asia, is fulfilled. You have things that are alive in your heart right now. Sometimes you just, it's almost like more than you can take because it's so alive in you. But there's things that you don't know about that have to be orchestrated. Your praying in tongues is what's going to move things around and move you into the place to where you can see the fruit and you can see what's in your heart. That's what was happening to Paul. It wasn't a mystery. Paul was following the leadership, that Holy Ghost inside of him, that yearning. But it just wasn't time. But he followed until the right time came. And then the word went throughout Asia. It's not just about us individually. He's got to look at us as well as the people that he's sending us to. He has to orchestrate all these different things together. It's amazing when you think of what he has to do to get you into the place that you're supposed to be. Move person, a person over here into place, another person, to get you to where you can be the most effective tool, the most effective person fulfilling what he has called you to. Did you get anything out of that tonight? I just want you to be, I want you to be encouraged. I'm telling you, as I stand here tonight, I am so fulfilled, but I'm not satisfied. I know there's more, but I'm not frustrated. That frustration that so many that I've talked to deal with, that's not God. It's not God. Now, again, he can, the enemy can, even in the total peace that I walk in, he can still torment me if I let him. If I get over into that mind, he can tell me, you're not going fast enough. You need to do this. You need to do that. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And he can torment me if I let him. Or I can shut my mind off. I can raise up my little hands and start worshiping the Lord, no matter what it looks like. Just thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in perfect peace. I'm not tormented by anything. I don't live in that place of torment. Amen? You don't have to live there either, because that is not God. Well, I think that's about all that I have to share tonight. So we're going to go ahead and pray and release you. And if you have anything you need prayer for, you can put your toes on the green line. Father, I thank you so much. Thank you for the example of Paul's life and how strategically you moved him from place to place. It wasn't happens chance. There was a plan. You had a plan. Just as you have a plan for us. Just like a huge jigsaw puzzle. We fit somewhere in this puzzle. Father, I thank you that as we pray in tongues, as the Holy Ghost prays the perfect prayer through our mouths, that you move us so perfectly into the place that you have for us. And we can live in perfect peace and fulfillment and contentment and be free of frustration. Father, I just pray for any person in the sound of my voice that's struggling with that frustration, where that frustration is trying to dominate their minds and their thoughts. Father, that's not you. And I just speak freedom to their thoughts, freedom to their mind in Jesus' name. Perfect peace, fill their hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus, for perfect peace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.